I want to read a little bit tonight. The 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. If you've got your Bibles, you can read along with me. And I don't know what we'll say. We may get into some revelation and we might not. But there's one thing about it. If the Lord will help us, we'll say something to you. I'm an unusual preacher. I never have been able to preach without Jesus. A lot of preachers can, but I can't. I just can't. Now you say, Brother Pike, there's no preachers that can preach without Jesus. That's where you're wrong. Quite a lot of them can preach without Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Bible speaks of the ministers of Satan that's able to transform themselves into ministers of light and minister the word. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. Now, I'll tell you what I want to do. There's a sister among us, and she is getting more out of sorts as far as the Spirit's concerned. Now, she's not in rebellion tonight as far as rebellion, but she's having a time with her spirit, you know, just in a sarcastic sort of a way, you know. And I want to help her. Now, I've watched her here. She's been going further and further. I've been checking her spirit from time to time. You know, like a doctor that watches his patients and checks them out to see what's going on. And a sister never has been real spiritual. She's always lent just a little bit to the natural, and she likes that. And when things ain't too good toward the natural, I tell you what, she gets kind of sarcastic, and she's not too enthused about anything when it comes to God. Now, the Bible said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Isn't that right? Your strength is small. That means you're not praying, you're not seeking God. When I start talking about demons and devils, I begin to feel them pop up like popcorn everywhere. As long as I don't mention them, they stay hid, you know, like a frog under a lily pad. But just as quick as I mention one of them, that stirs the others up and they start popping up like that everywhere. I think I'm just going to bypass the others and not even give the devil a chance to even be introduced tonight. And that'll really make him mad. But anyway, for this sister's sake, I'd like to pray if you'll bow your heads with me. And ask the Lord to do something for her. I want to say this. It's just kind of a, you know, well, it don't amount to a whole lot right now. Put it like that. But sister, you're standing just like a person on ice. And it would pay you if you do something and do something in a hurry. Run for your life. Whatever you do, run for your life. Because after a while, you're going to slip. You're slipping already. You was holding on pretty good because everything was pretty good for you as far as prosperity is concerned. But the Bible teaches that those that suppose that worldly gain is godliness from such turn away. You didn't bring nothing into this world, and it's for sure you'll take nothing out of it. So then all the worldly prosperity that God gives you does not mean that God is with you. Sometimes God is with you more when you don't have anything. When the widow didn't have anything, Jesus came to visit her with the prophet. Isn't that right? As long as she was eating good and had plenty, God didn't come to visit with her because she didn't really need him. But when her food started to giving out, Jesus came over to visit with her. So tonight, I want to pray for this sister, and I want you to bow your heads with me now. And I want to ask the Lord to do something for her. Wonderful Heavenly Father, tonight I have no power or ability of my own. And I know, Lord, that I'm dependent on you. But, Father, I know that your kingdom is within my heart. And I know that the eternal God dwells within me. And I know that you're able to say something to your people tonight that would be of a benefit to them, Lord. I'm not able to say anything, Lord, but you're able to say all things. And, God, tonight I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you bring something tonight to your people. Father, say something that will be beneficial to them, that will inspire them, that will help them. And God, this sister tonight, Lord, that I want to pray for. I ask in the name of Jesus tonight, Father, that you look down upon this sister. And Father, that you remember her tonight because she needs a touch from thee. No, Lord, as she sits here in our midst, I want you, Lord, to touch her. Father, she knows who she is tonight. Father, it's quickened to her that she knows. And dear God, I want you to deal with her and let her know the reason, God, that the prosperity is slipping away. Father, it's because of the careless days, dear God, that's gone by, Lord, when she was so unconcerned about you when everything was so well. Father, let her know that when she becomes concerned about you, then you will become concerned about her. And Father, that we learn obedience by the things that we suffer. And oh God, as you try to mold her into the wonderful mold of Christ, I pray that you'll help her to understand, Lord, as well as all of us, God, that in the day of our prosperity, Father, that is when we forget thee. But God, that may we be humble, may we be sincere, and Father, in the time of our prosperity, let us not forget thee, Lord, and let us not forget thy house. And dear God, let us not forget the widow, the orphan, and those that are hungry, and those that are without, that cannot make their way. Father, in the time of our rejoicing, and when we're lifted up and strengthened in spirit, and Father, when everything is well with us, help us not to forget, Lord, that there are others that are going through trials and hardships and woes and problems. Help us to remember them, oh God, in the day of our victory. God, that you might be with us. And Lord, as you've told us in the Scripture, that we might obey thee, Lord, that it might be well with us and our children all the days of our life. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will tonight minister to the spirit of these people. Help us to realize that thou art a spirit, O God. And Father, that we serve thee with our spirit. And dear God, that we've got to yield our minds and hearts to thee in thy leadership, that we might be able, if we're to be able, to receive anything from thee. In Jesus' name. All right. Let's read just a little bit from the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. I'd like to dwell just a little bit on the latter part of my readings here. That which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now, I don't pick my texts. I don't pick people to preach. I don't invite people ahead. I don't plan meetings. I don't plan where I'm going to read from. I never know till I come to the sacred desk, as a rule, where I'm going to read from. But there's one thing I do know: I'm going to read from the Bible. And that's what matters. As long as it's in the book, that's all right. Because Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. So as long as I'm in the book, I am in his will. I have people that come, you know, to pick me to pieces and to find fault with me, and I know when they come and who they are and why they came. I understand that, but I go right on just like Jesus said to Judas. I go right on and say, friend, and they never know anything until destruction hits them, and then all of a sudden they say, you know, just like when Jesus hang upon the cross, and the lightning began to flash, and the rocks rent open, and all these things begin to happen, somebody said, you know, he was a man of God after all. See, it was too late But they finally found out. So then people who pick the ministry to pieces, cause problems and heartaches, they find out. They find out too late, but they do find out. And they will find out as they come from time to time. But nevertheless, who knows but what I might reach one of them. Who knows but what they might repent of their sins, and I might be able to win one of them over and save them from the destruction that is coming upon them. All right? I want you to bear with me for just a little while, and if God gives us some thoughts, then we'll share them with you tonight. It said here, and that which is waxeth old is ready to vanish away. That which waxeth old is ready to vanish away. I want that thought to dwell in your heart tonight. And while I talk with you, and we'll probably come back from time to time to pick it up and refresh your mind on it to let you understand what we're trying to say tonight. Now, I like that little thing that they got here at Bethlehem. It goes like this. It says, God's new thing. I like that, don't you? A lot of people, you know, they think that God never does a new thing. As far as they're concerned, everything that God does is an old thing. Now, I know that God has the old landmarks. And I know that God does a lot of things, you know, or has done a lot of things in the past. And I know that He's going to do a lot of things in the future. But I also know, as a Christian, that God is doing something in the present. See, I am concerned about the past. I am concerned about the future. And that's good for you to be concerned about it. But what we need to be concerned about is the present. I never read where God says I'm the God of the future or the God of the past. I've never read that. Now maybe you have, and if you have, well, you can show it to me. But I've never read it. I've never read where God is the God of the future. I've never read where God is the God of the past. But I have read where God said, I am a present help in the time of need. God is the present help. When He sent Moses down into Egypt, he did not go there to tell Pharaoh that God was a God of the future. He did not send him there to tell Pharaoh that He was a God of the past. He said, Moses, tell him, I am has sent thee. Which brings it into a present state of condition. I am is present. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am the first and the last and the resurrection and the life. Moses, just give him a testimony that God is living in you. And that as long as you're present, God is present. Just let him know that he doesn't have to look any further. That since you're there, that you're the ambassador of Christ, and that takes care of it. And when he says, who am I to see about this situation? Just say, I am sent me. Hallelujah. God dwells in tabernacles, not made with hands. That's what I read tonight, isn't it right? God gave a promise, and it was a great promise. But the Bible said that that which is old has vanished away. Then God gave another promise. You say, well, did God break His promise, Brother Pike? He never broke His promise. He fulfilled that promise. But now He has given a new promise. God said, I will do a new thing. The old has waxed old and been folded up and has been laid away. And today this is a brand new thing that is so great and so wonderful that most everybody will miss it. And only the bride will get it. Only the bride will get it. Everybody will miss it because they can't realize that it really is as great as we say that it is. They can't fathom the depths of what we're saying. And when we get up here and we start trying to tell them how great it is, or we go to try to preach how great it is, the first thing they think, you know, is here the preacher goes. He's trying to get us all worked up, you know, so they can get a good sermon over to us and go home feeling good. But that isn't it at all. That isn't it at all. If I never get a sermon over to you, I've struck it rich. I've struck it rich. Hallelujah. I found what I was looking for. It took me many long years of searching and seeking. But the Bible said, he that seeketh will find. And I sought and I found. And whether you ever believe it or not, I struck it rich in God. It's like somebody a few days ago, on the radio and kind of criticizing this understand. I feel like God must have rebuked them to their face. They were saying that a feller somewhere around says that he's got the revelation. Well, I don't know what fellow this talking about, but I'm a fellow that says I got the revelation. But the strange part about it was, he apparently was going to take Brother Branham's tapes and rebuke me by playing them over the radio. And then when he finished, the tape he played was Why Little Bethlehem. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Why Little Bethlehem. Praise God, you can't win for losing when you're contrary to God, can you? Oh, hallelujah. All right, so then why a little Bethlehem? Why did God have a little Bethlehem? Why is there a little Bethlehem here today? You say, well, Brother Pike, that's because you wanted to build something and name it Little Bethlehem. Well, that's true. But see, the thing I'm asking you is, why did I want to build something and name it Little Bethlehem? The Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. So then God prepared my heart to build a little place and called it a little Bethlehem. Somebody said, but it's wicked. But nevertheless, God still prepared the heart. Whether it's wicked, whether it's righteous, God still prepared the heart. So see, God's in the whole arrangement. You can't do nothing about it. That just puts you to where you can't do nothing. If God's doing it, you got to leave it alone. You love the Lord? So then why little Bethlehem? Well, I think I know why. But anyway, I am not trying to get you to get all stirred up, you know. I want to get something over to you. And that is that there is a real, genuine revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not a make-believe. It is not something to be criticized. It is not something for people to mock. It's a real, genuine revelation of Jesus Christ. And the man that tampers with it, God will put him in his grave. The woman that tampers with it, they'll be put in their grave. You can't mess with what God is doing. You can take God's hands and strengthen the minister's hands and walk along with him, but you can't criticize and you can't mock. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, you just don't know me. I tell you what, I might not know you, but I know him. And I know what he said. And the Bible said God is not mocked. What God has said will come to pass. So then, that which is old has been folded up and laid away. I say this tonight with all reverence and respect. Every man that's ever done a work, I'm for it. Every man that's ever preached a sermon, I believe it's immortal in the minds of God. I believe it'll never pass away. Even Moses. I believe that what Moses done will live forever. But there's another way that you've got to look at it. You've got to understand what God is saying. When he said that which is old is ready to pass away, he was talking about the law and what Moses did. And yet, who is greater than Moses? When we say something today about somebody's ministry passing on and God doing a new thing, the first thing we get is a repercussion. But we can preach that Moses is passed on and we don't get a repercussion. But they say God's word can't pass away, Brother Pike. I know that. The Bible said not one jot nor tittle of the law shall pass. It'll all be fulfilled. And Jesus said in his day, think not that I've come to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill the law. And Jesus made it stronger than it ever was. He never took away one bit of the law, but he said, if you think it's hard the way that Moses said it, said, let me tell you something. He said, if you think it's rough when he said that if you take up time with a woman, that's adultery. He said, let me tell you how strict the law is. He said, if you just look on one, to lust after you've committed adultery already in your heart. So then instead of lightening the load, he made it a lot heavier. He said, brethren, in so many words, brethren, he said to us that it wasn't near. Moses did not make it as near, as strict as it really is. It's so much stricter than Moses could have ever preached it. It is so strict that people are as filthy rags in God's sight no matter what they do. But he not only did that, as he drawed a strict line and he brought the law tighter and tighter, he said, but there's one thing about it, though it be ever so strict and too strict for you to fulfill, I am become a scapegoat for you. I not only have made it strict to where you can't fulfill it, but I've placed a penalty for every transgression. But I've given enough grace that I'm willing to pay the penalty myself that you might be able to escape the judgments of God. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Put a price too great for me to pay. And said, Brother Pike, because you can't pay it, I'll pay it myself. Hallelujah. But he won't let you change it. That which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. I brought out the thoughts this morning just a little bit. Didn't get to preach on it. But the Bible teaches that we were kept under the law. We were kept under the law. Shut up under the law. And when I say that, I am speaking as Paul spoke. When Paul spoke, he was speaking to the Jewish people. He said, brethren, of your day you've been under the law until I come along. Now somebody would say, well, where do you get that, Brother Pike? Now just listen for just a few minutes and don't be critical. Paul said to the Jewish people, he said, you have been under the constraint of the law. You've been shut up under the law. It's been a bondage of do's and don'ts. And you've not been able to keep the law. Some of you boast yourself of keeping the law, Paul said. He said, but that's not true. He said, there's not one of you that ever kept the law. And he said, you've been kept under the law. It was a constraint. It was a bondage. It was something to keep the Jewish people. And you've been under the law all these many years. He said, but being shut up under the law unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed. I made the statement the other day. I heard a fellow preach this a little different. He was right in a sense, but he was wrong. When God said, shut up under the law, unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed, he was not talking about the faith which you believe. He was not talking about your faith. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, God meant that we were under the law back there, they were under the law. But now we've come to believing. That wasn't what God meant at all. When God said to the Jews, you were shut up under the law, unto the faith which afterwards should be revealed, he wasn't speaking of your faith at all. It did not have to do with your faith. But he said, unto the faith which is the faith of Jesus Christ. There is a faith which should come after the law. And it's not your faith, but it's Christ's faith. That's when the Bible tells us to contend for the faith which was delivered unto the saints of God, which faith by which ye are sanctified. Hallelujah. By the faith which is in him. There was to come a faith, a great move of faith. It was to be in one man. For the promise was not unto seeds as of many, but seeds as of one, saying, in thy son Isaac shall the seed be called. Not unto seeds of many, but seeds as of one, which was Jesus Christ. That's why that I emphasize the fact that there is but one faith, there is but one Lord, there is but one baptism, and there is but one membership of that one body. And that is the membership that is sanctified by the faith which is in him. The faith of Jesus Christ. Not by your faith, not by somebody else's faith, not by the tradition of the elders or what they've taught in the denominational sect, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. What is that faith? That faith cometh by the hearing of the word, because he was the word. And he said, sacrificing and offerings thou wouldest not, but lo, a body thou hast prepared me. And as it is written of me, O God, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God.
the volume of the book, the Son of God, the Word of the Lord. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. It is the Word that is Christ. And the faith that comes from that Word is the faith of Christ. You can believe you're going to heaven when you're going to hell. You can believe that you have the gift of healing when you have the gift of troublemaking. Amen. And deceit. You can believe anything you want to in your heart, but that doesn't make it right. You can believe that you're right when you're wrong. You can believe whatever you want to, but that won't translate you. That won't save you. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. What kind of faith was it? The Bible said that the scriptures in the days of Abraham appeared unto Abraham before the fivefold ministry ever came. God sent the scriptures. He himself as the spiritual word came unto Abraham, and Abraham believed what the word said. I like that. Old brother Enoch, he didn't have the fivefold ministry in his day. But he believed when the scriptures came to him. When the word came to Enoch, Enoch believed what the word said. And the faith of that word, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that word translated him into the marvelous kingdom of God. That word today is still powerful. Paul, in his writings, he tried to get the Jews to understand. He said, you have the word of God among you. He said, you've got this great word, this God, who is the same to every generation. He said, this God that is among you is the word. He said he could do great things for you. But not being mixed with faith, it does not profit you in that you hear it. When you pray, believe. He that cometh to God must believe that God is. He must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to believe in God, and you've got to believe that God's a rewarder. You know how that you are going to be able to do that? It's when you live holy, walk holy, talk holy, get all of the deceit out of your mind, forget about how brilliant you are and who you are and what you know, and humble yourself at the feet of Jesus and begin to have a staunch fellowship with God and begin to deny what you think and believe what he said about it. Then you'll get a clear conscience and you'll begin to believe that you're in harmony with God. And of course, when you begin to believe that you're in harmony with God, then faith begins to come up. Hallelujah. That's right. Now, if you want your wife's favor, what do you have to do? Come on. If she wants your favor, what does she have to do? See, she's got something to do, hasn't she? That's right. If you want God's favor, you're going to have to do something. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I feel like that God loves me no matter what I do. Well, that's where you're wrong. Amen. If you do evil, God doesn't love you at all. He hates you. The Bible said, I hate you. I'll despise your image in the morning and I'll pursue you till you perish from off the face of the earth. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to receive the kingdom of God just by saying, Lord, Lord. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Faith cometh from doing the will. You follow me? So then we can believe a lie and be damned. We can believe as many hundreds of church people that we are right with God and on our way to heaven when we're on our way to hell. But I'll tell you one thing, folks. You cannot believe the word of God in any place without something happening in your life. If you take the word of God, God will hasten to perform his word. Did you know there's something that God esteems greater than the name Jesus? Come on. Oh, there's nothing in the world that's greater than Jesus. There's one thing that the Bible says that God esteems above his name, and that is the word. The Bible said God esteemed the word above his name. Why? I said here one night, because the word is God, the name is the name of God, but the word is God. He esteems his word above his name. And the Bible tells us that he will hasten to perform his word. Faith doesn't come by the hearing of the name, it comes by the hearing of the word. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? So then, That which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. There they were under the law, shut up under the law. Under what? Under the faith which afterwards should be revealed. There was to come a great day of deliverance. That's why there is a Pentecost. Because as you know in the Old Testament, the Pentecostal festival was when they all rejoiced together. It was the day of Jubilee when all bondages was broke. If you owed anybody at last, you was free from your debt. It would be good if we had something like that today. That's about the only thing that would ever get the world out of debt. But they all had a freedom. And so then when the day of Pentecost was fully come, God sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, and freed them from their indebtedness. For Paul said, I am debtor to God. So then, when it came, they were freed from their indebtedness. God freed them from their indebtedness. And God brought a great jubilee called Pentecost. And He set them free. He set their spirits free. And God did a great thing. It was a great day of jubilee because they had been shut up under the law, under the tradition of the elders, and at last the seed had come. At last He to whom the promise was made had come. At last that Jesus had come. And the promise of God to Abraham was through thy seed, Abraham. Not as of many, but as one. Jesus the Christ. Through thy seed all nations shall be blessed. And so then the promise came. And when He to whom the promise was made came, death could hold them no longer. Death had no more power over them. This is the greatness of the thing that I want to get over to you. This is the thing that I try so hard to get you to see. When we come to this part, this seemed to be the part that you stumble and stagger at. When the seed came, death could hold the people no longer. It was a day of deliverance. When the seed came, something was taking place. It was a great time of jubilee, a great time of excitement because Christ had come. Hallelujah. I read to you this morning, the Bible said in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son that was made under the law and born of a woman. That's a hard thing to get over. You can't see God coming when it is born of a woman. You can't see God coming down here in a human body and talking to me. That was the trouble with the Jews. They couldn't understand how God could come down in a human body and minister to all their infirmities and minister to their understanding and bring them up into the perfection of the eternal ways of Christ. But nevertheless, God has set in the church a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And God does visit His people as He comes to them within the veil. He still hides behind the badge of skin. And God still talks. And the Bible said when the ministry comes forth that it is not the ministry speaking, but God speaking from within His temple. Hallelujah. So then we can see that there is something that is new when Pentecost came. There is something that was taking place that had not taken place before. The Jews lost out because they could not believe that God would do a new thing. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody would say then, Brother Pike, how can God do something new when Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun? How can God do something new? If He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, how can God do a new thing? Because the things that God has done in the past has not been the fullness of what God was before the world began. God was something great back there. He's still something great. And He hasn't yet manifested His greatness unto mankind. Only in part. So then, when the faith came, something happened. When the faith of Christ came, something took place. What was it that took place? Death had no more power. Death had no more power. When the promise came, death had no more power. I like that part. I like to live. I like to live. I tell you what, I like to live, Brother Pike, Brother Taylor. And when I get to thinking about death having no more power, I always get excited. Amen. I can preach most anything. But if I ever think about death being conquered, I get stirred up. There's something that awakens me and excites me. Hallelujah. Because I know that that's the thing that mankind has looked for all down through the years. Hallelujah. Amen. I get excited. These steps ain't hardly big enough to get down. But there's something that I get excited about. I can preach most anything in the Bible. I can hold myself pretty good. But when I think about death being conquered, I think about the little crippled children that's died in the mother's arms when there was crying. I think about the dads and the mothers that's in prison down in the earth that's waiting for the shout, waiting for the cry, waiting for the message of God to bring them out of the earth. When I think about that, there's something that happens to me. Death has been conquered. It's a great victory that God has wrought in mankind. When this great thing came, Paul the Apostle, he said, "Brethren, I want to preach to you a new thing." Oh, they said, "Paul, you just want to do like David. You want to be a show-off." Paul said, "Brethren, I'm not trying to be a show-off." He said, "But I've got a new thing." Oh, they said, "Now look at here." Paul said, "We know what Peter preached. We know what the others preached." But Paul said, in spite of the fact that Peter worked miracles and raised the dead, said, "I've still got a new thing." Hallelujah. Somebody said, if the blind eyes has been opened, if the deaf ears is unstopped, then what else is there that we can bring to the people? There's something that's new. Even if we resurrect one from the dead, there's something far greater than that. There's a conquering of death to where every person in the grave will get up. Like the vision I had, and in the vision when I moved out over the graveyard, I saw the graveyard as I moved out over it, and I cried to the people in the graves. I said, "Get out of the graves." Nobody got up. It was dark, and I was moving through the elements at high speed. Nobody got up, and I shouted again. I said, "Get up out of the graves. Death is conquered. Get out of the graves." And all of a sudden, they came up out of them graves, and the graves broke open, and people began to come out of the graves. Hallelujah. Paul the Revelator said, "God is doing a new thing." Hallelujah. It is a brand new thing. Peter, you've done a lot of great things. Even your shadow has healed the sick. But God has sent me to do a new thing. What is this new thing? The revelation of Jesus Christ. For God has chosen me, Paul said, to reveal Christ in my life. Hallelujah. So then, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, something began to take place. What was it? There was something on the move. A great thing had transpired. There had been a law. There had been a great thing, and people had esteemed the law. They were afraid to transgress the law. They were afraid to change from the law. Paul stood up boldly, said, "Brethren, there is a new thing in the earth." What is it, Paul? Why, they said, "We never heard Peter preach that. Why, I never heard Elijah preach that. Never did we hear Moses preach that." Hallelujah. "What are you talking about, Paul?" Oh, he said, "Brethren, I've discovered something." Hallelujah. Old Brother Peter and all the rest of them, walking side by side with Jesus every step of the way, sat at the supper and eat with him. Oh, you know how they are. Say, there can't be nothing new. Now we know. We know that can't be anything new. Say, why? Why is it there can't be anything new? We've walked with the man that could tell people their very thoughts. We've walked with the man that could resurrect the dead. We've walked with the man that could unstop the deaf ears. Paul said, "That doesn't make any difference if you did. I've got a revelation. I've got a new thing. I've got something from God." Hallelujah. God is doing a new thing. Brother Blake, God doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Paul said, I got a revelation. Oh, hallelujah. I got a revelation. Hallelujah. Amen. So then Paul stood up and he said, brethren, won't you let me preach to you? Let me preach to you. Some of them fellas, they went off, you know, and they picked Paul to pieces. Said, listen at him. And they picked him to pieces and they laughed him to shame. They mocked him and they stoned him. But some of them other folks said, look, said, would you tell us that again? Hallelujah. Some of them said, let us hear that one more time, Paul. That done something to me. And the Jews said, now look, you know there ain't nobody right but us. Come on, folks. Since when is anybody else right but us? And so the Jews went their way. Paul said, the blood be on your own head. Do whatever you want to. Said, I got a message. Said, what is it, Paul? That which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. Oh, hallelujah. That which is old has waxed old in the sight of God. And God's doing a new thing. God is interested in yesterday. He's interested in those that live yesterday. But I want you to let this register in your heart, my brother and sister. The minister that's preached and preached well, that's laying under the clay, God is not interested in that. God was interested in him when he walked this earth. God was interested in him when he opened the blind eyes and unstopped the deaf ears and made the lame to walk. God was interested in him in his day. Hallelujah. When old brother Samson could shake the seemingly very gates of hell with his strength. God was interested in Samson in that day. But hallelujah, this is Brother Taylor's day today. Hallelujah, this is a different day altogether. Hallelujah. They shook that old Samson in for 20 long years. They shook and they trembled because it was God's day. The angel said, Samson will do it. And they stood by when they thought they could apprehend him. And they saw the great power and strength of God as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he pulled up the post and took the gates of the city and set them on the top of the hill. Hallelujah. Don't you see Jesus in that? Went down into the valley of Sorex, and when his enemies got after him, went down there and stayed all night, you know. You know, Jesus down the heart of the earth. Said was with the wrong kind of woman. You understand what I'm saying? There with the world, Jesus had to come down here with the world. The wrong kind of woman, didn't he? Had to be made sin, didn't he? Old Samson, he gave into the weakness of the flesh, but God was in Samson's life. Hallelujah! The mighty Spirit of God was with him. Hallelujah. And when the Philistine army decided they were going to do something about it, they stayed out there till the morning, and when they got ready to get old Samson walked out there and somebody said, here he comes, get ready. Hallelujah! Meet him at the gateway! Old Samson walked out there and he shook the post, and some of them got nervous and said, we better wait a while. Hallelujah! The whole garrison, the whole army was ready to get him. But when he shook the pillar, somebody said, let's don't be too quick about it now. Let's just take our time about this thing. Hallelujah. Old Samson shook the other pillar and their eyes flew open. And Samson picked up the big gates of the city and laid them upon his shoulder and walked to the top of the hill. And they stood there with their mouths hanging open saying, whoever seen anything like this? Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Jesus shook the bars of hell, the promise came, the seed came. Hallelujah. The day of deliverance had come. The time was at hand. The Jubilee was there. Pentecost had fully come. The fullness of time had come. Hallelujah. For Samson to get up and to shake the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Jesus began to shake the gates of hell. The demons went this way and that way and every way. Hallelujah. I could just hear them folks screaming, you know, the devil's and the demon saying, get out of his way, get out of his way. Samson is on the loose again. Amen. He's broke the bonds again and he's on the move. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And devils and demons went everywhere. Amen. And Jesus, he shook the gates of hell and he come up out of that grave. Victorious. Triumph. Hallelujah. Over death, hell. Stood there with the keys. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you see that tonight? Can't you see what I'm saying tonight? Glory to God. You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You're the victorian tonight. Jesus didn't say be of good cheer because I'm going to make you strong. He didn't say be of good cheer because I'm going to make you to where you can overcome the enemy. He didn't do that, did he? But he said be of good cheer, friend. I'm your friend. And you never met a friend like me. Boy, you never had a friend like Samson that could walk off with the gates of the city. He said, I'm on your side. Hallelujah. I'm on your side. I'm your friend. And he said, be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. I like that, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, you be of good cheer. I've already taken care of it. They were shut up under the law till faith came. But my faith in God did it. Hallelujah. The faith of Christ. Hallelujah. It conquered death. It conquered sickness. It conquered poverty. The time of the promise is at last here. The fullness of the time is here. It's been here ever since Calvary. But we've been slow of heart to believe. Jesus appeared to them in another form as he walked on. He appeared in Moses when the day come for Elijah. He appeared in another form. When the days come for John the Baptist, he appeared in another form. Hallelujah. When old Isaiah came along, God appeared in another form. When Joshua walked along, God came in another form. And when Brother Branham came, God appeared in another form. And then when Brother Branham died, God appeared in another form. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still hiding behind the badger skin. Hallelujah. Death is conquered. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Just rejoice, Jesus said. Rejoice. Hallelujah. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. He said peace on earth and goodwill from God to man. Hallelujah. Paul said, brethren, that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. Oh, somebody said, now who do you think you are? He said, I'm less than the least. Less than the least. But said, I got a new thing. Said, I got a new thing. I've done got this thing figured out, Paul said. And I didn't do it by going to college either. Sitting at the feet of Gamaliel ain't what worked it out. But he said, a few years in the Arabian desert, talking to the Spirit and communicating, the veil was taken off and I went up into the third heaven. And said, I know what this thing's all about. Amen. He said, I know what it's all about, Jim. I know what it's all about. And he sounded like one that was really puffed up. Somebody said, now look at here. What about Peter, James, John, the council over at Jerusalem? He said, God bless your hearts. That's fine. He said, but them that seem to be somewhat in council, he said, they don't add nothing to me. Praise the Lord. I left to go fellowship with them and left to be among them. Boy, he sounded like a puffed up fella, didn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Peter had the keys to the kingdom. And him talking about Peter couldn't add nothing to him. You know, folks got shook up. But it proved out to be that way.
When God got ready to magnify that new thing, he let the other begin to drift out. Isn't that right? Peter, who had the preeminence. Peter, who had the keys. Peter had the keys to the kingdom, remember? What greater thing could you have than the keys to the kingdom? But when God got ready to do his new thing, God wanted to magnify Paul and let Peter fade into the background. What did he do? He let Moses stumble so Joshua could come in. Come on. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Hallelujah. The song said, feeling so much better. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about God. Hallelujah. So then, Paul said, I blamed him to his face because he was to be blamed. Said, Peter, don't go back under the law. Said, I've got a new thing that is ready to be folded up and laid away, Peter. Peter said, Paul, you talk about things that's hard for me to understand. Hard, you know. Hard to be understood. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, he didn't say hard for him to be for him to understand. He said it's hard to be understood, you know. But it was hard for him to understand it. Because Paul said, I blamed him because he didn't understand. Is that right? And Paul said, foolish Galatians, said, which way are you going here? Amen. Said, is this thing in the flesh or the spirit? Come on. Come on. Is this thing by faith? Shut up under the law until faith come. Folks, there is the faith today. Not your faith, not my faith, not someone's faith, but the faith of God. The faith of Jesus Christ. We are to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. Who was he talking about when he said the saints of God? When Moses up there just touched it just for a minute and said, if I be a man of God, let the earth open up and let these people go down to the pit quickly. When Joshua just for a moment latched onto it and said, let the sun stand still till the battle is won. You understand what I'm saying? Just for a minute, they latched onto it. Just for a moment, they latched onto it. And Paul said, brethren, contend for this faith. Contend for this faith. Fight with the devil. Wrestle it out of his hands. Stay with it. Don't give up just because another church couldn't do it. That doesn't mean we can't do it. Stay with it. Contend for the faith. Just stay with it. We can do it. They say, but they didn't do it. That doesn't make any difference. Little Bethlehem can do it. Not only can we do it, but we're going to do it. Not only can we do it, but we have done it. Hallelujah. I feel good. Amen. Glory to God. So then there's a new thing. Now, if I could preach about 30 more hours, I could tell you about the new thing. Hallelujah. It's here tonight. The new thing is here tonight. Amen. There's so much more than I want to say. Just let me close out here with a few words. I'm right in the middle of a stream. There is something here that you haven't been able to get a hold of, people. Even from the days of Calvary, the church has never gotten a hold of it. It has been here since that time. The fullness of time was at Calvary. And Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. That was at Calvary. He got enough understanding of God that he knew that was the end of the world. And I've said this before, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if that was the end of the world, then what is this we've been going through all these years? The church ages. The church ages. And at the end of the church age, then what? Oh, somebody said, well, that couldn't be the end of the world and then the church ages. Well, then how can it be the end of the world and then the millennium? Come on. How can it be? Because the millennium is still the world. The Bible said they'll plant, they'll build houses. It's still the world. Isn't that right? So then why don't we quit talking about the end of the world coming? Got another 1,000 years, yeah. Why discourage the hearts of the people if that be the case? Now see, Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Amen. And the church ages set in. We've been going through the church ages. And now, beloved, we are at the end of the church ages. That's what shakes us up. Somebody said, Brother Pike, don't you believe that Brother Branham was the last messenger to the church age? I believe with all my heart that he closed out the church ages. Not that I believe the church ages is closed out. I don't mean that. I believe they're closing out now. But I believe that he was the man that came to close out the church ages. I believe that. Hallelujah. But it don't stop there. It don't stop there. Amen. It don't stop there. I say this again. God was interested in Brother Branham in Brother Branham's day. Like here not too long ago. Let me say this right quick. Not too long ago, we was over in Indiana and went there to a sister's house there to pray for her. She was sick. A friend of Brother Branham's. The same place where Brother Branham saw the squirrels. Where the woman believed when Brother Branham told about the squirrels he saw when he spoke them into existence. The same place. The same woman. They were there as we talked with them. They're friends of ours. You follow me? As we start down that little road, going way out in the country where they live, every time we turn a corner, it would say recreation. Recreation. Well, I didn't think anything about it. I knew God was moving and God had sent us down from that Missouri meeting, and I told you that it was the beginning of the new. But it still hadn't dawned on me what he was doing right there at that particular moment. And we was riding, going over to Sister Hetty Wright's house. And there, as we rounded a corner, it said recreation. Got down a little further, it said recreation. And finally I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Why do you keep drawing my attention to recreation? And he said, son, recreation. Recreation. And I thought, my Lord, I never saw anything like that. And I said, well, what's that got to do to it? He said, because you're going to the place where Brother Branham spoke the squirrels into existence. See, where the vision was told. Said the recreation, the new, the next coming in. You understand what I'm saying? When we got out there, the woman was in a dying condition. She had some material. Hadn't been over to the Brother Branham Tabernacle in a long, long time. Long time. And she was in a dying condition. The Lord told me what he's fixing to do, and I just waited to see if he's going to do it. Got out there. She had some material. She saw Sister Betty and him in the long dresses, and she just carried away with it. Even though she was so sick, she was just carried away with it. And she wanted a long dress. And Sister Betty said, all right, said, we'll make you a long dress. I want you to see this. Now, I didn't know I was going to get any revelation tonight. But just a little bit here. Here she was, and that material that she'd had on hand, all of a sudden it was transferred over to, sure enough, it happened just that way. It came to little Bethlehem. And our seamster, Sister Beachy, and the others, they got busy. And it wasn't long before Indiana had a new dress. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's so wonderful. Her husband's name was George. When Brother Branham was preaching, he'd walk for miles, you know, going down to a place to preach, and he always went by there, and George would always wash his feet for him. And he'd put on George's shoes. She was sick. But she wanted us to pray for her. We prayed for her. And she was healed. Now you follow me? I want you to see something now. Brother Branham couldn't pray for her. She showed me pictures. She's got pictures of him when he was all just... Even little old Billy Paul, they kept Billy Paul when he was a little old bitty boy. Brother Branham pictures from his youth right on up. Just perfect friends. But Brother Branham couldn't help her. Brother Branham had passed on. She was sick and she was dying. And she told me how he'd prayed the prayer of faith so many times for her and for the children. But he couldn't do it anymore. He was gone. Brother Branham was gone. He passed off the scene. But Brother Pike was there. Sister Betty was there. And we prayed the prayer of faith. And God healed her. Hallelujah. and a dress came all the way to Bethlehem.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God.
And she got her dress and it went back and she went to the tabernacle. Hallelujah. See, she thought she was going to die, that she'd never go back to the tabernacle anymore. Thought it was all over. Everything was finished. Paul said, brethren, there's a recreation. Said the first fruit of them that slept has come out of the grave. This is the resurrection, my brother. Come out of the grave. And now we've got a recreation. We've got the second man, Adam. Hallelujah. I could go on and on now. When that stream opens up, I could just go on and on. There's something about it. When that comes on, it's just like a great floodlight that hits my soul and it seems like there's no end to it. How do you understand what I'm saying? The dress went back to the William Branham Tabernacle. Not the miniskirt, not the midiskirt, but in division I saw three. Hallelujah. Praise God. I saw three. And the maxi skirt was the last one. And in division, that was the finishing up of it. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Said, Brother Branham said, if you just wear them down below your knees. I said, all right, that's fine. Said, don't you believe Brother Branham said it? I believe he said it. I believe he'd have told you to get them down to your ankle, but he figured he couldn't get them no further than knees. If he got them at four, he'd be doing good. Didn't want to spring it on you all at one time. Somebody said, don't you believe Brother Branham said that? I certainly do. But I'm talking about what Jesus said. When Jesus came out of the grave, his wasn't down to his knees nor below his knee. It was down to his ankle. The Bible emphasized the fact it was down to his ankle. I'd hate to stand in his presence in anything less, wouldn't you? I'm a man and I wouldn't want to stand there unless mine was down to my ankle, let alone being a woman. Amen. The Bible said he's our example. We should follow in his steps. Isn't that right? All right. Now listen just for a moment. I'm going to close. Brother Branham said the dresses was long enough because that was the move of God for the hour. And I believe God let him be satisfied with that. But Brother Branham distinctly stated just before his death, he said, I was caught up into a place and I saw where they had lengthened the dresses. There was a new move coming in. He said it was the third pull. The new move was coming in. See, the many had done come and the mid had done come. And now it was time for the maxi. The church had to be fully clothed. Isn't it right? Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. It done come. That new move had come in. Amen. It done come in. Brother Branham said, there it is. Said, I saw it. Moses said, but Joshua will have to take care of it. Says, a pretty land. Beautiful land, said, I saw it. But said, I have to let Joshua take care of it. Now, hold on now. I ought to have done shut up a long time ago. Man, it's hard for a preacher to shut up, you know, when the Lord's talking to him. Somebody said now, Brother Pike. Said, Brother Branham was Moses. Come on now. Somebody said, I won't dispute that. And said, now that move is over, said, the Joshua move is on. They'll go that far with you. Say, but Brother Branham ended it all, and the Joshua move is the Holy Ghost. I agree to that. But what I'm trying to figure out is, how did the Joshua move get here before Moses got here? That's what I can't figure out. See, the Holy Ghost started at Pentecost and the Joshua move got here before Moses got here. If you can explain that to me, we put it all together, we'll have it just right. Come on, folks. All I want you to do is explain it to me. How did Moses get here before Joshua? Or Joshua before Moses? How did he do it? You see, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what it is. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have revelation. You got an idea. See, it don't fit the Bible. Brother Branham said, stay with this. Jesus said, stay with this. Then somebody said, Brother Pike, didn't Brother Branham say that the Joshua move with the Holy Ghost? Sure. The Moses move was the Holy Ghost too. Amen. But the Holy Ghost lives in mankind. The Holy Ghost lives in human beings. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Sure, Brother Branham was right, but you're wrong. Come on, folks. Let's wake up. Don't you know what it is? It's the devil out there doing that. Taking those leaders, they know that Brother Branham is dead. I want you to see it. They know that Brother Branham is dead. And as long as there's nobody else to lead, that puts them in the lead. Somebody say amen. I said as long as ain't nobody else coming, then that means they're in the lead. That's all right. Many members to the body. God gave the word. Great was the multitude of them that published it. But brother, God has had overseers. He's had generals and captains and sergeants, and he's still got them. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still got them. And the reason they've got things in a mess, and they have got it in a mess, is because they feel that they're not going to be under any oversight. And if they believed in a Joshua ministry, they would first of all believe this, that the Joshua, which was the Holy Ghost, spoke saying, take the oversight over the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. The Joshua was the one that appointed the human overseers. You follow me? That didn't fit right. I told you I'd get a repercussion. But ain't you glad it's the truth? How many of you can deny that it's the truth? Come on, why don't you deny it in your heart? Why don't you say it ain't the truth? Because you're shaking your boots, you know better. If you deny the truth, you know God will cut you off. The Bible said you have not a love for the truth, God will kill you. Oh, somebody said, God won't kill you. God said, I kill and I make alive. Beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. You can't deny it because it's the truth. If you want to deny the truth and be cut off and go into a bottomless pit, just rise up against the truth. I'm speaking the words of soberness and the words of truth. See, what you're saying don't make sense. But what we're saying does make sense. God lived in a human being in the days of Moses. He lived in a human being in the days of Joshua. God is a spirit. God lived in human beings all down through the years. And God still lives in human beings. And when there is no human being present, you see no God. Somebody would say, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You mean to tell me that God's not here just because a human being's not here? Come on. Come on. Oh, somebody said, but God's everywhere. God's always been everywhere. He was here before me and you got here. He was here before the world ever got here. But the Bible said, where two or three come together in my name, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. It takes human beings. Like scientists say, if a tree falls, if there's no human beings around, said there wasn't no sound. Come on. Said if there's no human being around, there wasn't no sound. I used to say, wait a minute. I said if that tree fell, it fell. I said if that tree fell and it crashed, it fell and crashed and made a sound. I don't care what science has to say about it. But see, I just didn't understand. I didn't understand what sound is. Sound is that which is recorded. If there's nothing to record it, there wasn't any sound. You understand what I'm saying? Now, as far as human beings are concerned, that's the way it is with God. See, you understand what I'm saying? The wind can blow. If you're off over here and you can't hear it and you can't see it, then there's no wind. Isn't it right? But you just set a tree or house in the front of it, and then you get a manifestation. Then you see something. That's the way it is with God. If there's no human being, there's no God. You follow me? No God present if there's no human being. God works through human beings. The only way you will ever see God is in a man or in a woman or in a child in God's creation. Somebody said, well, I see him in the birds and the trees. That's true. You see a form of God which is life. But I'm not talking about a form of God which is life. I'm talking about God himself, the Holy Ghost. He lives in me. He walks in me. He talks in me. I'm his temple. He lives down here. God, not a form of God, not a breath of life like was in Adam, but God himself lives in me. You understand what I'm saying? So then that means that there's still a move of God, brethren. Don't get discouraged. There's still a move of God. God's doing a new thing, and you're the membership of that new thing. And God is not interested in Brother Branham. God was interested in Brother Branham in Brother Branham's day. Brother Branham done a good job. He done it to his people, and God was interested in them people. Now God's interested in Brother Atlee Beecher. He's interested in Brother Frank Taylor. He's interested in Brother you and Sister you. Because this is your day. This is the people you've got to reach. And God's interested in you and wants to work with you. And when you finish your course, God will lay you down to rest. Just like he did Daniel. And he'll raise up an Isaiah or somebody and walk on with them. Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. So then quit your fussing and quibbling and fighting. Thank God for what has been done in Brother Branham's life. And remember that God is doing a new thing. Somebody say hallelujah. I done hit a stump. I done struck a snag. Sure as the world. All right. Let's stand together. I told you I could have shut up a little sooner. But if I hadn't, I couldn't have reproved you. I had some people to come to my services a few nights ago. I never got to say just a few words, and like Mexican jumping beans, up they went and out the door. I thought, how foolish can man be? He never stops to listen to find out. He just figures that the preacher's wrong and he's right, and off he goes. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be wrong? Have you ever stopped to consider just one time that you just possibly could be wrong, and that it might be a devil that is stirring up your mind of contrariness and got you in a wilderness in your intellectual reasoning that you just might be wrong? You know, you can't get rid of a spirit until you confess it. As long as you don't confess it, it's not exposed. A spirit isn't exposed until you confess it. But if you ever confess a spirit, then it is exposed. And when it is exposed, then you can resist it and it will leave you. But if you never confess it, it is not exposed, and neither can you resist it because you've never even acknowledged it. So when you acknowledge it, then you can get free from it. You love the Lord? Somebody said, well, I'm not following a man. There's only one time that you're not following a man. That's when you're dead. Because as long as you're doing what you want to do and thinking like you want to think, you're following you. And if you can deceive your wife into thinking that you're smart, then she's following you too. Both of you's bad off. Some women are too smart for that. They say, well, no, wait just a minute now. We're following somebody. That's right. You love the Lord? God's good. Hallelujah. Said they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake because it was the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? You're looking for a loophole, but there ain't none. They're all patched up. You've done run headlong into yourself and don't know where to go from there. But I tell you what, I know the way out. There is a way. And Jesus said, I'm that way. I like that, don't you? Somebody said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's better and better. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I love you tonight. I appreciate you. Wouldn't hurt you for nothing. Not mocking you. Just trying to be pleasant enough to get my thought over. As Brother Branham said, nail it on real good so the wind can't get it. If you don't really nail it on good, the wind will get it. I want my people to be able to understand. I want them to be able to understand. When these brethren run around, and I know that Satan has got a hold of them and trying to establish something on their own and trying to get away from leadership, and they just want to be the preeminence, you know, and don't want to follow any leadership, don't want to have any brotherhood, anybody to tell them anything, you know. That's not God. God ain't never worked like that. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, when you come together like that, that's denomination. If that's true, then it was denomination when Peter, Paul, and James and all of them come together at Pentecost. They had their overseers. It's not denomination. Don't be foolish. You're using a crutch to justify your evil, conniving doings. That's what it is. And the people that fellowship in folly is not wise enough to get out of your clutches. But in the days of sorrow come, they'll wish they had a... He said, Brother Pike, are you talking to us? These tapes go just about everywhere. So then, what I'm trying to get you to see, my brother and sister, is God deals with us according to measure. If your measure is bigger than my measure, I've got to listen at you. Whether I want to or whether I don't want to, I've got to listen. And if you've got a measure of Christ and I got a measure of Christ, if I've got a measure of Christ, I'll have a want to. Because if I don't want to, that proves that I haven't got the measure.
Right. Amen.
Amen. The body of Christ is relative one to another. Have you ever heard of Einstein's theory of relativity? See, if something is relative to something, you take a magnet, if that magnet passes over something, if it's relative to it, they'll come together. Isn't that right? It's like a man that falls in love with a woman. He might see 50,000 women, but all of a sudden he moves over one that's relative to him. Somebody said, what made that fella marry that woman? You want me to tell you what made her do it or him do it? It's because in the foreknowledge of God, God said he'll marry that woman, not anybody else. And when he moved over that, he was relative to it, and something happened.
That's right, man. Praise God.
Now, you marry out of lust, and you're going to be in trouble. But when it moves over that which is relative to you, you're coming together. See, it's the same way with us. There's something relative, brethren, to the Spirit. There's some relative to God about us. The members are relative one to another. You follow me? A great relativeness. That means there's overseers. There's measures. If you've got a measure and I got a measure, then I'm relative to you. If your measure is greater, then I'm relative to you under your oversight. The woman is relative to the man under the oversight because his measure of strength is greater. Greater. Somebody said, oh, I've seen women that could whip men. Full of the devil. Perverted. When a woman gets strong enough to whip a man, if a man's in good shape, she's got a devil. Now, when you get a devil, you could break chains. I'm talking about the way God made them. See, she's relative. If a woman can overpower a man's will, then that man is perverted. If there is a woman that can overpower a man's will and lead that man instead of that man leading her, then the man is perverted, and most likely she's perverted too. Because it's some kind of power that's stronger than he is that overcomes his mind. See, God made her spirit weaker and his spirit stronger to give a type of Christ in the church and the earth. They're relative one to another. You follow me? So it is, if your measure is greater than mine, then you've got the oversight over me, and I'm relative, and I'm glad to be relative to you. Because I want to grow up into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And we're all growing from glory to glory, from light to light, to the fullness of him. And whatever our measure is, then that gives the other the oversight over us accordingly. Sergeants and captains and generals, we move right on up unto the headship, which is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
You love the Lord? What is the Lord Jesus Christ? The revelation. Why the revelation? Because God is a spiritual word, a mind. He is a spiritual kingdom that is preached. It is preached. It is a spiritual inheritance that comes through faith. It is a mind, and that mind is the head of the church. Let this head be in you that was in Christ, that made him and the Father one. This mind be in you. So then we're moving. When we all come into that mind, then we shall see him who is so lovely. We shall see him as he is. But until then, you will not see when good cometh. Though a prophet come to you, though a member of the body come to you, a son of God come to you, whatever it might be, you would not see it. This room right here, it's filled up tonight with gods. I said this building is filled with gods tonight. Somebody said, where? All around you, just reach out and touch them. Jesus said, ye are gods. Gods. It's filled with gods tonight. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Let's sing this little chorus together. I love you. Appreciate you. I appreciate your kind attention. No spirits of rebellion fighting against me. One or two spirits I picked up that's got them a little bit baffled, and they not too well pleased with me. But something keeps telling him, you know, that maybe we better wait. Maybe we better find out a little more. That's good. That's good. You're making a start. You go that far, then the first thing is, you know, you might get a little farther. And a little further. And after a while, you might not even want to tear down this at all. You might even grow to like it. Can I say this right quick? When I went into Pentecost real young, I heard him shout and jump and holler, you know, and it bothered me. I was quite kind of person, it bothered me. And I thought, now these are some fine people. You know, they just get beside themselves. And I didn't give my heart to God, you know. Still didn't understand. But I thought, well, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to teach. So the pastor, he gave me a place to teach. I thought, now I'll teach them and help them, you know. And after a while, they won't be doing like that. But you know, it don't work like that. The more I taught them, the more I liked the way they done. The more they done it, the more I wanted to do it. And after a while, I lost all sight of what I wanted to do, you know. And I wound up, like Brother Branham said, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I wound up just like all the rest. But it's such a wonderful experience. And you're such a wonderful people. Solomon said, who can speak to so great a people? You're gods. You're gods. I'm not capable of speaking to you, and I trust that God has said something that will help you. Certainly not in a mocking way, not in arrogancy, not in any way exalted. I speak to you as a man now. I'm the least among you. I don't have any ability, and whatever he says, that's what he says. But I'm nothing. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing this again. Without him, I can do nothing. I like that. That always comes back to me. I can't do nothing without him. Let's impress that upon our minds and heart tonight. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I would but fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without the sail. Call on his name now. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus. Hear him today, oh, don't turn him my way. Jesus, sweet Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. You know, one day we'll get into some more revelation and really preach. But I was thinking yesterday, Brother Leon, they've already took the poles to the tent, got them sanded off real nice and varnished up with a heavy coating of hard gloss to make them nice and new and pretty. The water won't bother them, the tent poles. The sacred desk got it varnished up so nice. And everything's waiting for the springtime for Brother Leon to set his tent up, to move for God, to win souls. Great significance in this coming season. Great significance. Something has happened. It has happened. I tell you, it has happened. And some of you didn't see it. I remind you again that our brother Branham said it would move right through you. You would never see it. Why did he say that? Because he said, ye shall not see when good cometh. Something has happened. Let's sing this little chorus. And while we're singing it, I wonder for just a moment tonight, would you be willing to take a moment
As we sing this little song, I'm longing for Jesus to come back and gather around the altar for just a moment. I do this so many times to form a little brotherhood, to keep you flexible, to keep a unity, to keep you know where I can see that you're obedient, ready to move at any time just in case the call comes. You're flexible, ready to move. And in case the call does come, you'll be ready. You'll always already be ready to move. You know, they do that. They have drills. They have fire drills. And they have different things, you know. They drill people so that if fire breaks out, then you can just all of a sudden, you know, you just spontaneously move just like that because you're already ready. Already ready. All right, let's sing this little chorus. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. Long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Sing it again. Oh, I'm longing for Jesus to come back.